The gospel reading continues. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who were from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip then went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment on this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks then in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons and daughters of the light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they stood still and did not believe him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what has he had heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit this day and always. Amen. So, on our Lenten journey to the cross, we've seen Jesus being tempted and not falling to the temptation. We have seen him filled with sorrow, great anguish, as he considers sinful people when he goes to the cross for the forgiveness and the salvation of those who believe in him. We have seen that he wants all people to turn from evil, turning back to him, repenting, returning to him. And Jesus is welcoming the sinner into his presence as he makes us righteous before the Lord, even as he changes our hearts and our lifestyles. Last week we saw that Jesus is persistent in his pursuit of us. He is persistent in his love for us that sends him to the cross. Today, we are reaching the hour of Jesus' passion. We have arrived at Holy Week. We, along with all the people of Jerusalem, came in shouting, "Hosanna! Save! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Behold, our King is coming, as the prophet said, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a donkey. Jesus is on the young donkey. So my question of the day for you then is, have we been duped? The king is not supposed to be on a donkey. The king is supposed to ride in powerfully, majestically on a nostril-flaring war horse to show strength and might. But this man, behold, this man is riding in on a donkey, and not even a full-grown donkey at that. The mama donkey is helping alongside of the little baby donkey. It's almost a comical moment. Big guy on a little horse. The people accept it, though, because they've seen miracles. The people have seen Jesus feeding thousands. They have seen and touched people who've been healed, as Jesus has healed the sick. Jesus has spoken with authority, especially around the religious leaders of the time. And now, most recently, we have seen Jesus do another great miracle, raising poor Lazarus from the dead. This man was dead. Jesus raised him up to life once again. That's pretty good for magic, isn't it? It's not magic. It's a miracle. It's a powerful thing that only God can do. He raised poor Lazarus from the dead. They've seen the signs, and now they've joined in on the victory parade. And so have we. But we have come because of this one whom we shout, Hosanna, save. We have come asking this request, save, Lord Jesus. And this one we come to him because something has moved us. You came today for some reason. Maybe it's to see your friends. Hopefully, it's to see and hear about your Lord. The Lord has moved you in some way. The Holy Spirit has moved you. The faith in your heart has moved you. And you know what? We're just fine with seeing Jesus on a poor little donkey, aren't we? Because he's showing himself as a Prince of Peace. It's all a part of this strange, true story of Jesus on his journey to the cross. Because this king is truly different. He's not the bread king provider. Well, he is a provider. But the people wanted one who would give them relief from their oppression. The people wanted someone who would come in on that mighty steed and crush down the Roman Empire. But this king is different. And his time has now come. How many times have we seen and heard in the gospel message, my time has not yet come. The hour is not yet here. We've heard this, haven't we? But what does Jesus say today in our scripture? The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Today, on the journey, the hour has come. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. We hear Jesus talking about a seed, don't we? A kernel of grain. It's a very important add-on to his moment there about the glorification of the Son of Man. that the seed can't just stay a seed and just be there. The seed has to what? Die. And what comes forth from that seed? A plant. Glorious fruit. Death has to take place in this case for glory to ring forth, to bloom forth. And I love spring because of that. It's a great reminder for us of the blessing of the hour that has come. The seed has died once again. It's germinating. And now the flower shows forth and glorifies. And the beautiful flower petals show forth, don't they? Same with the whole grain of grain. The wheat, whatever grain it may be, corn. Some of you people have been around farms and different things, and you're starting to get your gardens ready. Well, that seed has to die. Jesus says, I'm going to die. It's now time. The hour has come. And today you're hearing that the hour has come. The Passion Week has come. That holy, blessed time has come. Is that good? You bet it is. You bet it is good. The seed has come to die. The seed from Abraham, the seed of the house and line of David has come. As foretold of old, the prophets have talked about this Jesus who would come in gentle, riding on a little donkey. This king has come. The seed is now ready to die so that the Son of Man might be glorified. Why is that important? Why should the Son of Man be glorified? Anyone? We need a Savior. We need rescue. We need that statement that we were saying. We need to say it. We say it. Hosanna. Save me! I'm drowning. I'm dying. I can't do it on my own. I need help. And so we, too, go along with the crowd and say, save. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We get a little bit of that mob mentality and we get fired up on the excitement of the day. And I'm glad you're back. And I hope that you keep that excitement going. Because here at church, this excitement is true. This excitement is an excitement of a victory parade of Jesus. The one who will save. And as you know, the week goes on, doesn't it? The week goes on, and by Friday, what do we say? Not quite that. Somebody got it. Crucify! Sunday, we're like, yeah, Hosanna! I'm trying to not get too crazy, because I've been told sometimes I get a little too loud. But we're out shouting. Oh, it's okay. Give him an inch, he'll take a mile. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Blessed is the Son of David, the one who's been foretold. Yeah! Yay, God, you sent me a king who's going to get me out of my oppression from the government. Crucify him! Get rid of him. I don't need him. I got me. I got the Pharisees. I've got Ponch Pilate. They're going to take care of me. Crucify him. Get rid of him. Pontius says, I can't just let him go. Somebody else has to be let go. Hey, let's pick a murdering criminal. And the people say, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's get rid of the murdering criminal instead of the guy who's healed thousands of people, has raised a guy from death, has made people well again, has fed them, has given them blessing and compassion. Give me the murderer! And we're laughing, right? But we're just the same. Give me the murderer. Crucify him. I don't need him. I don't need him. And we too are a people who are fickle because of sin. Sin has entered into our lives. And we go from that Hosanna, save, blessed is he, to get rid of him, crucify him. I don't need him. I got it. Don't need any help. Leave me alone. Criminals, fine, whatever. Give me Jesus. We turn. We turn from Hosanna to crucify. But Jesus still goes willingly. As a lamb before her shearers is silent, so the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, goes forth as the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation, the one who will pay the price. He still goes forward and says, yeah, you know what? There's freedom even for Barabbas. There's freedom for those Pharisees if they'll take it. There's freedom for you. Jesus works. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts and minds to move us back to Hosanna. To back to praise, back to save, Lord Jesus. I need you. Lord, I need you. And so he moves us away from that crucify back to a Hosanna moment. And yet we still keep going back. Nope. I'm going to go back to my sin. I don't need you, Jesus. Crucify him. Give me murderers. I don't need you. We just keep doing this cycle, don't we? And Jesus goes to that cross still and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We have entered Passion Week. We have entered the time of seeing Jesus' greatest love, dying for us on that cross, being paraded through town, some maybe mocking, some excited for the moment, to the end of the week where it's a crucify him situation. And yet he still, on that cross, will say, Lord God, take care of them. They're my people. I love them. I give them my blood, the blood of my passion, so that they are forgiven, so that they are given freedom, so that they're given new life, so that they're made light in this world, so that they have salvation forever. This passage continues in John 12 that says, the light's here for a moment, and basically, continue that light, people, so that other people get out of the crucify him mentality. Give me murderers. And move back toward that Hosanna, save. Being filled with faith as the Lord works in them so that they are a forgiven, loved people too. Loved by that Christ who gave his own blood during this week of passion. Come back the rest of the week and hear more of the story. Amen. Peace, love, faith, grace, and passion from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Savior of me, my Jesus. Lord, bless us all and keep us. And it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus, praying through God the Father with the Holy Spirit interceding for us. Amen.